Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. We are today continuing in this segment here our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. I've ended up in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 27. Behold, this I have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. What is the preacher saying here? He's being a little bit evasive here, I think, in what he's saying, and it's a hard thing to say. Oh, boy. And I would add the word, who knows, or is wise, because that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about to know, to search out wisdom and the reason of things. And he's saying, I've only found one man in a thousand who is aware of what is really going on in the world. But he said, among women, among all those, have I not found one that understands. And, you know, men and women are different. And, wow, it is rare to find a man that understands, that has sought out wisdom and found it and lives by it in his life, to find one in a thousand. And should I go there? Well, the Almighty made men and women different, and he certainly did. The man he made first, and the woman came out of the man. He took whatever genetic material from the rib of the man, or as we have it, the story of the rib of the man, and he made the woman. So he took the material of the man, and out of the man he made the woman. The woman is not a man, but if the woman is made from the man, if the woman came out of the man, then everything that the woman is made of is in the man. And I'm not talking about gender-specific differences here. I'm talking about the makeup of the man, what a man is and what a woman is. The seed of the woman is in the man. That's a biological fact. That's a fact of biology. It is the seed of the man that determines whether a child is male or female. That's in the seed of the man. The seed for a man is not in the woman. And that's why the seed of the woman was free from guilt. And when the Holy Spirit impregnated the woman, there was no guilt, and there was no "you shall surely die" curse upon the Messiah that differentiated him from all men. That's why he was called the second Adam, because he was the second created man, created in the seed by the Holy Spirit, implanted into the womb of the Virgin. A new Adam, a new creation, a new man, but born of a woman in order to qualify to be the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer of mankind. So we see that beautiful imagery there. But women and men are different. There is everything that a woman is made up of has come out of the man, so is present in the man. But there are things in a man that are not present in a woman. Men and women are different. One is not greater or better than the other in any way that men can count greatness or worth or value. There is a difference there. The woman, the scripture says, is the weaker vessel. And we see that in the physical aspects. The woman is physically weaker too, but also has other weaknesses. Now the man has his weakness, and that's demonstrated in the Genesis account, where the man succumbed to the woman and her weakness. And they were scolded after that. that the woman was supposed to submit to the man, but her desire would be to rule over the man, but she was supposed to submit to him. So there is a difference there between men and women are different, and they have their different places. In his government, the man is over the woman in family government. When a woman usurps the authority of a man, we have trouble. And we see that trouble in our society today. We have divorce rampant. We have children without fathers, daughters, and sons without fathers to guide them, which is just more folly and more wickedness. We have the maternal presumption that the value of the woman or the mother is greater than the value of the man, whereas the scripture says the opposite is true. Now, a man or a boy needs a mother because that's the way the Almighty designed it. And a girl needs a mother. But a boy also needs a father, and a girl also needs her father. The scripture plainly demonstrates that if a child could only have one of the two, a mother or a father, the scripture gives precedence and preference to the father. It is more important for a girl, for a daughter, to have a good father than to have a good mother. It is more important for a boy to have a good father than a good mother. But by the Almighty's design, they should have both, and they should both be good. But I would rather see children have a godly mother than by herself than a wicked father by himself. And then we go back to the inheritance and the responsibility of family. No one is meant. This in our Roman society, we have mothers floating out here by themselves collecting welfare or whatever, falling under the state, and then the state becomes the daddy. See, they've destroyed the family government, and they've replaced it with parens patriae, and that is the state is your daddy, basically. The state becomes the father. The state becomes the patriarch, takes the place of the patriarch in family government, and provides for the orphans and the widows. See, so there was supposed to be a responsibility there. In the Heavenly Father's inheritance and family law, there were no widows and orphans. And, you know, there were no unmarried women with children, because it was the responsibility of the family to place that widow, if there was a widow, in a family with a father within that family clan immediately, or at least to make sure that that family, that widow and those orphans, were in that family clan of the father with a grandfather, uncles, whatever, there to take the place of that father, not the state and not welfare. So we see what a mess things have come into. Yes, as my good friend would say, what a mess we have out here in the world with the destruction of the kingdom of heaven and that government that he ordained among men and demonstrated early on, and he gave to the children of Israel, which they threw off and said, we want a king. We want a government like the other nations. And then we throw off the family government because the governments of men tend to destroy the family government, especially with the new social order we have today in the worldwide Roman Empire that has taken over and is taking over the entire earth today. Not conducive to family government, especially the family government which was ordained by the Almighty in His Word. So there you have it. I'm not going to delve too deeply in what Solomon says here in three verses. It seems somewhat evasive. Perhaps he has tried to put off the wrath of all the wicked feminists out there that would grab this and assail him for saying that I have not found a woman among all those. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Yes, indeed. Chapter 8 and verse 1 of Ecclesiastes. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God and the oath of the Almighty. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Okay. Who is as the wise man? Who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments. And we could replace up here with the king's, the government. I counsel thee to keep the government's commandment. And that in regard to the oath of God. Okay? So, if we keep the laws or the commandments of men, we do it in regard to the oath or the commandments, the higher law of the Almighty. For instance, I travel by automobile on the roads out here, and the commandments of the king or the government in sway says that I should wear a seatbelt. Okay? Now I regard that in the oath of the Almighty, and I find no commandment that says, thou shalt not wear a seatbelt. And it causes me to break no commandment of the Almighty to wear that seatbelt. So, I will put the seatbelt on that I do not offend them. Because I know if there are little enforcers out there driving around in their black and whites or whatever color that's in fancy in your neighborhood, and they espy you in your automobile without a strap across your shoulders. They will turn on the little flashing lights and come up behind you. And if you don't stop, they will shoot you dead. So you must stop. And if you have a license, they will ticket you. And if you don't have a license, they will perhaps tow your vehicle away and leave you standing on the side of the road if you're fortunate. If you're more fortunate, they perhaps may let you go about your way if you're wise enough to know how to handle them. If you're not fortunate, or if you resist, or if you're nasty to them and they're in a bad mood, they may tase you, arrest you, beat you up, even shoot you, and take your vehicle anyway. The perils of dealing with the enforcers of the commandments of men. So he counsels us wisely. He says, I counsel you to keep the commandments of the realm, the king's commandment. He uses that word here. And in his day, in his time, well, it was mostly kings you were dealing with. Today we have images of governments out here that have enforcers. So he says, I counsel you to keep those commandments, and that in regard to the oath of the Almighty. And, you know, I put the commandments of the Almighty, of God, as he puts here. He uses the word Elohim in the Hebrew. So I use the translation God here, rightly so. It's the English word. I don't care what the etymology of the word or the history of it is. I don't know any of that. And I speak contemporary English, so I'm going to use the word here. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment in that regard to the oath of the Almighty. And going back to my illustration of out here. So I put on the lap belt, or I maybe even feign it and not really even buckle it, though I usually do. Sometimes I'll just slip it over my arm so it's, you know, it's straight there. So we have the vision, okay? If they espy me from the front, they're going to see a strap across my breast or over my shoulder. And they're not going to stop me for that. But perhaps say they did stop me for whatever reason. And now they asked me for a license. Well, in my case, see, I don't have to break the Almighty's law to put that strap over my shoulder to please them in that way. Or to go the speed limit, or to stop at stop signs, or to obey all of the traffic rules out there that they have. And they put all those out there for a good purpose, so that everyone will conduct their affairs on the highways in a certain order, and so that everyone else knows what to expect and there's no surprises, right? And there's no accidents by those surprises, and everybody can move along safely. So there's a good reason for all those rules. And perhaps, you know, the seatbelt rule, you know, that's because the legislatures have been paid and they think it's safer for whatever reason. So they want to be your nanny, too. I'll let them be my nanny, you know, in regard to whatever, as long as they don't require me to break the law of the Almighty. But now I've got a problem. If they do stop me, they're requiring me to break the law of the Almighty to get a license now. Before they didn't. They didn't used to do that. And so I got the driver's license, even though I'm not a driver, and I have liberties and a right to travel and all of that. But then they said, well, you have to sign up for the Mark of the Beast, a monetary mark with the U.S. government. So you have to volunteer. So, or another way I like to put it is, only socialists qualify to get a driver's license in the state of California, right? Only socialists qualify. You have to be a card-carrying socialist. So I call that discrimination, because I don't want to be a socialist. You know, so if you practice socialism, I'm sorry, you know, you can have your delusions and your illusions about it. But if you practice socialism, by definition, you are a socialist, okay? So, if you get the card with the 9-digit number and you sign the contract for the card, well, you're a socialist. I'm sorry, whether you like it or not. You've been duped. And most people have been duped and deceived into it. And, or treated it so lightly that they didn't regard what they were doing. But I'm not a socialist, number one, because socialism is against the commandments of the Almighty, because it's where the government steals from one man to give to another. And also, it's legislated charity. That's another thing that the Almighty hates, legislated charity. He wants everyone to give free will. Now go through his commandments, go through the Old Testament law, and you'll find out that all charity is voluntary. And he loves a cheerful giver, not a coerced giver, okay? Of course, they do all this with good intentions, and like I said, it destroys the family. Even James upheld the law. He said the true religion is to take care of the orphans and widows, of course, pointing back to the law that we've been talking about. So they require me to break the commandment of the Almighty to get the driver's license. If you want to understand that a little bit more, my stand on that, you can go to my website. I have an article there. It's called Biblical Sovereign. You can read that. I also have a travel document, and you'll see a link on the right-hand side of my website. Just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a travel document, and it says CDL DUI stop or something. There's a yellow sign there, and it says travel document on it. Click on that, and you can read my stand on that. And that's the document, that's my travel document that I carry with me. And hopefully, when I show that to them and they see my stand, they usually just let me go, because it's too much, it's more trouble than it's worth to deal with me. And of course, I'm kind, considerate, respectful. I respect the power. I respect the man that has the job and the job he has to do, and the constraints that he's under. So I'm kind and courteous. But usually they just leave me alone, because I'm not out there breaking their, you know, the king's commandments for the highway. Yeah, I'll put the lap belt on. I won't talk on my cell phone while I'm moving down the road. I won't go faster than the suggested speed limit. I'll stop at the stop signs. I don't have a problem. I can do that. I'm a patient man. It's fine. And that way everyone knows else out there on the road knows what to expect, and nobody's going to be accidentally hitting me because I surprised them by not following the king's commandments for the highway. See? So there you go. That's what I see here. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of the Almighty, of Elohim God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing. You know, don't go with the crowd, whatever. Don't be hasty to go out of the sight of the king or the Almighty. Stand not in an evil thing. You know, depart from evil. If you see an evil thing coming or people are taking an evil stand, walk away from it. You know, I've got people devising evil from me, and I see others come along and they listen to the evil whisperings and all of the lies of my enemy, and they stand with them hastily. Because, of course, they're going to get their promised reward or whatever for taking that stand, and they get snared. Be not hasty. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. And, of course, going back to the king and his commandment. Where the word of a king is, there is power. So where the word of the government or the law of the government is, there is power. When those guys with their little red flashing lights get behind you, you better stop, because there is power there. And you need to understand that power. And we all understand that power. That's why most people just capitulate. And they sign up for socialism to get the license to have it, because they're afraid of the power. But see, now I got another commandment that says, fear not them that can kill the body. Yes, they could kill me. But if I act wisely, it's unlikely I'm going to get killed on the side of the road by the policy enforcers. I'm wise enough to know how to act, and I hope that everyone else is too, if you're out there obeying the commandment of the Almighty, which causes you to be an infringement in the commandments of men. And we'll come back and we'll pick up here if you're listening to Cross the Border.